the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Catholic Community Radio.
Good morning. It's Wednesday, June 1st, the 1st of June. I'm not sure where May went, but we're so happy you're joining us on Catholic Community Radio's Wake Up. I'm Alicia Quibido, and I am joined this morning by three of my favorite people, Johnny Abear, straight from Bush, Louisiana, and right here in our Baton Rouge studio, Denise Beyer and Dina Dow.
Good morning,
everybody. It's so great to have company. I love it.
Great.
Right, Johnny? Sorry you're not here with us live and in person, but it's great to have you.
You bet. You bet. We are going to be talking a lot about friends today. Our Lord, actually, is the one talking about friends today. June, how did you? Yeah, you're right. How did we get here? It's already summer.
Halfway through the year.
Man, and we are remembering today Justin, St. Justin the Martyr. And as Catholics, we remember St. Justin the Martyr, particularly writing around the year 150, 160 AD. And he's trying to defend or describe to the emperor's officers what these Christians are doing when they get together. And he describes the Mass and the real presence of the Lord in the Eucharist. He's trying to explain it, but it's very clear. When they gather, it's so similar, almost identical to what we do today as we gather and we celebrate the Eucharist and believe it truly is the body, blood, soul, and the divinity of our Lord. So remembering him today, and we're going to call on him today as we start our day off in prayer, shall we?
Yes.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
O God, who through the folly of the cross wondrously taught St. Justin the Martyr the surpassing knowledge of Jesus Christ, grant us through his intercession that having rejected deception and error, we may become steadfast in the faith. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
And St. Justin Martyr,
pray for us.
Well, we have a great show for you this morning because it's Wednesday. You know what that means? We get to hear Johnny Abear's Gospel Reflection. So we'll start off with that. And we'll also be joined by author Rod Bennett. He's talking about his book, These 12, The Gospel Through the Apostles' Eyes. Dina Dow, as I mentioned, Director of Evangelization and Catechesis for the Diocese of Baton Rouge, joins us to talk about the Eucharistic Revival. Very exciting. Looking forward to hearing more from Dina about that. And our friend Deacon Larry Oney with Hope and Purpose Ministry will join us to talk about Pentecost. And he has a pretty exciting event that he and Denise will tell us about at the end of our hour. So, well, just to tell you about the weather, it will be hot again today. That kind of sums it all up right there.
For the next few months.
It's summer, y'all. And I hate to remind you, but this is, we just started hurricane season. So we'll get our Lady of Prompt Succor prayer going again. And it will be hot today with the highs in the upper 80s and lower 90s. And those will be underneath partly cloudy skies. So there will be another round of hit or miss showers and maybe a little storms this afternoon. We had a pretty big one in our house yesterday and in the evening hours as well. So probably morning is a good time to run those errands and get things done. So temperatures around the area, Baton Rouge, it is 73 degrees. New Orleans, 78. Luling, 76. Our friends in Biloxi at 73. And you know where the cool spot is, Johnny Abear?
Let me guess. Here? North
Shore?
Where
the cool kids are. Bush, Louisiana, right?
<I'll be done. laughs>
71.
Well, we're still carrying our umbrella, whether it's because of the sun or the rain. You still can get out of either way, right?
That's right. Right. 71. And Bush, y'all stick around after the break. We'll have your gospel and gospel reflections. It's 5 minutes past the hour on Wake Up.
A good Wednesday to you. I'm Father Chris Decker with today's Gospel.
Lifting up his eyes to heaven, Jesus prayed, saying, Holy Father, keep them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one, just as we are one. When I was with them, I protected them in your name that you gave me, and I guarded them, and none of them was lost except the son of destruction, in order that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you. I speak this in the world, so that they may share my joy completely. I gave them your word, and the world hated them, because they do not belong to the world any more than I belong to the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They do not belong to the world any more than I belong to the world. Consecrate them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I sent them into the world, and I consecrate myself for them, so that they may also be consecrated in truth. We've heard the gospel, and now we reflect.
Consider how Christians were depicted in the second century's letter to Digonatus. In a word, what the soul is to the body, Christians are to the world. The soul is dispersed throughout all the members of the body, and Christians throughout the cities of the world. The soul dwells in the body, but it is not of the body. Likewise, Christians dwell in the world, but are not of the world. The soul, which is invisible, is confined in the body, which is visible. In the same way, Christians are recognized as being in the world, and yet their religion remains invisible. The flesh hates the soul and wages war against it, even though it has suffered no wrong, because it is hindered from indulging in its pleasures. Similarly, the world hates Christians, even though it has suffered no wrong, because they set themselves against its pleasures. The soul loves the flesh that hates it and its members, and Christians love those who hate them. The soul is enclosed in the body, but it holds the body together. And though Christians are detained in the world as if in a prison, they at the same time, in fact, hold the world together. The soul, which is immortal, lives in a body dwelling. In a similar way, Christians live as strangers amid perishable things while awaiting for the imperishable in heaven. The soul, when poorly treated with respect to food and drink, becomes all the better. And so Christians, when punished daily, increase more and more. Such is the important position to which God has appointed them, and it is not right for them to decline it. So now let us ask ourselves a tough question. To what extent does this letter apply to Christians today, to us? In fact, the tougher question is, to what extent is it true of me and of you? Jesus said, You are the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its taste, with what can it be seasoned? It is no longer good for anything to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. Have a wonderful day. This is Jimmy Sagers.
Thank you, Father Decker, and thank you, Jimmy Sagers. Strangers in a strange land, it seems to be what Jimmy's talking about to me. It really hit home to me this week. In fact, someone asked me if we were getting comfortable here in our new parish after our move. And strangely, it came to me, and I told him, I said, well, the only thing that I've finally gotten comfortable with is the reality that I'm never going to feel totally comfortable in this life. But with one exception, and that is the comfort of friendship. And you know, and what I meant, and I think you guys know this too, I know you know this too, that very strange and even contradictory sense of not feeling quite settled, even as great and joyful as our lives are, you always feel like this almost not yet kind of feeling. Mm. You know, it's like we're not happy just saying we're moving laterally to the next thing, the next stage or whatever, but we have this upward kind of feeling that we should be going, but we don't have any wings. It's like, what's that about? I mean, if there's no Darwinian explanation for that. I mean, if we're smart, if we're just smart animals, why am I pondering eternity if my belly's full, my bank account has money in it? And today our Lord really calls us to this in a powerful way. It really hits home with that title that he gives to his disciples, and he gives it to us next verse, is friend. Mm-hmm. And I could tell, you know, growing up as a teenager, this idea of Jesus being my friend really became my anchor. And really he showed me what love really meant, and I could compare that to the friends that I had. And so what is it about Jesus' friendship, you know? And here's what he says today that reaches across time to us. And we talk about true friendship. You know, true lasting friends are connected by this shared love of God the Father. And in that sense, we're all looking up at the Father who loves us. And what do we see when we look up and see him? He's loving the Son and loving the Holy Spirit, and that pours down on us. And that's what this Sunday Pentecost is all about, this deep friendship. And second, true friends are consecrated in the truth. What does that mean? You know, you think about consecrated means to be holy, to be sacred. And hence the word true friends. It's anchored to what is true and seeing that in each other. And that's a really anchor, you know, when we have deep friends within a world where lies are coming at us from every direction. But it also means we're set apart from the world. And that explains why we don't ever feel settled here. You know, we're in the world, we're not of the world. Mm-hmm. You know, what we're each trying to be is not on TV, it's not in a magazine, but it's about virtue. That's what we want for each other. True friends want understand that we're bursting forward to try and really embody the virtues that the Lord is, the gifts that he's giving us through the Holy Spirit. And finally, a true friend brings a sense of joy, meaning. And even the sickness and events and going on issues with our kids, there's this feeling of understanding no matter what's going on, we're bound together. We're going together to the same place, one hope. And finally, the world's finally catching up to Jesus, as he's doing so many things, science, psychology, all catching up to Jesus. Another study came out from Harvard tracking happiness in friends over 75 years. And guess what they find? The happiest people are those that have deep relationships, friends, even outside your family, and mostly those of religious friendships. So let's be consecrated in the truth.
Amen.
Well, stay with us. Quarter past the hour.
This is Franciscan Media Saint of the Day for June 1st. Today we celebrate Saint Justin Martyr. Justin, who lived in the 2nd century, is the first Christian philosopher. His search for religious truth was a lifelong task. Born into a pagan family in Judea, Justin described himself as a Gentile. After years of studying pagan philosophies, including the school of Plato, he realized that the Christian religion answered the great questions about life and existence better than the philosophers did. Following his conversion, he continued to wear the philosopher's mantle. He combined the Christian religion with the best elements of Greek philosophy. In his view, philosophy was the teacher that leads one to Christ. Justin is known as an apologist, one who in writing defends the Christian religion against attacks and misunderstandings. Two of his apologies have come down to us, one addressed to the Roman Emperor and the other to the Roman Senate. Statements from his first apology are some of the earliest existing expressions of the Eucharist. As punishment for his staunch adherence to Christianity, Justin was tried and beheaded in Rome, probably in the year 165. There's more about the saints, along with inspiration and Catholic resources, at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
Oh, and it's 18 past the hour. Good to be with you on Wake Up on this Wednesday, June the 1st. Can you believe it? It's going to be hot, hot, hot. So keep your umbrella handy, except when grace is raining down. You don't want your umbrella up then. Following up with our gospel today perfectly. Ever wonder what it would be like to experience Jesus through the eyes of his apostles? Well, Rod Bennett's going to tell us about that. Explore that with his new book, these 12, the gospel through the apostles' eyes. Good morning, Rod.
Good morning, Johnny. Good to be here today.
Oh, really great to be with you. I know your previous work, you even had a bestseller on with Ignatius Press. It was on your conversion to Catholicism. But today, this book, really, I was reading it, and the back cover, I kind of got the feeling that if I say that the Lord's appeal and his power was so convincing, any 12 would do for his mission, and I think I would be wrong. So tell us why.
Well, absolutely. It's often been stated that he chose humble, lowly people, just fishermen, etc., but he himself, of course, was just a humble, lowly man of no special birth, not a philosopher, not any of those things. So humbleness and lowliness doesn't necessarily imply that you don't have any qualifications. As a matter of fact, we know from Scripture that at least four of his disciples had been disciples of John the Baptist before they came to our Lord. And there's good indication that that's true of some of the other 12 also. So this means that they passed from being the disciples of the greatest of the Old Testament prophets. And we have Jesus' own word on that, that John was the greatest of the old prophets, to being the disciples of our Lord himself. So they had a pretty good training, pretty good credentials, so to speak. So they didn't come with no qualifications, by no means.
Right, and so you were in the book. You help us see through each of these apostles' eyes. Can you give us some examples of we read the words in the Bible about these apostles, but there's something deeper specifically about each of them. How about a few examples of things that just jumped out at you as you were kind of doing the research here?
Well, other than what I just mentioned about having been trained by John, all of them seem to be there indications that all of them had great interest in the subject of the coming Messiah. And there's and that makes sense that Christ, excuse me, I have a little bit of allergies this morning. It makes sense that Christ would pick people like that. You know, they were awaiting the consolation of Israel, as the phrase goes, elsewhere in the Gospels. They were people who were focused on being the lookouts, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Christ, in his own parables, tells us that we all have to be like this. We don't want to be like the 10 foolish virgins or the watchkeepers who were asleep when the Lord returned. This is what these 12 were like. They were men who were doing what all of Israel was supposed to be doing, and that was awaiting their redemption, being on the lookout for the master that they had been promised throughout the Old Testament. So a good way to think about the 12 is that these were not just strangers that Jesus walked up to and said, "Follow me." They had shown, it seems, an interest in the subject all along. They had been seeking the consolation of Israel. So that, I think, is the connecting theme, that he chose men who were on the lookout for him.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting when you read it. They weren't embarrassed after the Lord rose to tell everybody how they argued. In other words, you see that. You see James and John arguing about being on the right and the left. They certainly had to have raised their eyebrows when Matthew, a tax collector, jumps in there. Thomas doesn't believe what they're all telling him, scatter in different directions when he's arrested. So, but yet, as we're talking about Justin the Martyr today, the unity, the cohesiveness historically, it's an incredible bond of unity despite these differing, you know, the internal kind of, I guess, what friends do. Explain that. I mean, what did you see? How could they be so different and yet all of the same mind?
Well, clearly the coming of the Holy Spirit is the key ingredient there, but one thing that was interesting in doing the research for this book is the difference between the way the early fathers looked at the apostles and the tone that you often get nowadays.
I'm afraid it's all too often that you'll hear a careless homily or sloppy preaching that tend to make the apostles as sort of the comic relief of the piece. You know, there's a lot of cheap shots been made at Peter's tendency to put his foot in his mouth, and as you mentioned, the doubting of Thomas and all the rest of it. But the it's interesting that the apostles understood the reverence that comes from us in the reverence of the fathers towards the apostles is only a little lower than that of Christ himself. So they had good reasons for understanding a lot of the things that that seemed to us as but comic blunders, maybe. Right. Actually, there's a deeper story behind almost all of those. Certainly there's a human element, and certainly they are not always responding in faith. But part of it's because you and I have 20/20 hindsight. Mm-hmm. They were all in the process of learning who Christ was or what sort of response he wanted. Like the issue of who's going to be number one, number two, what the pecking order or hierarchy is going to be in the kingdom. That the fathers believed that that had to do that was a legitimate process. That had to do with their understanding of Christ as perhaps a military Messiah. There are just as many prophecies in the Old Testament of a successor of David, who was of course a man of war. It's David's throne that Christ sits upon. So the idea that Christ might be coming to organize a military deliverance for the nation was a legitimate interpretation of the scriptures, the prophecies. So, in trying to work out who was going to be the executive officer and who was going to be next in line in the hierarchy, all of that was what an army would have to work out before that got started. So, it is curious and interesting how fresh a take we get on a lot of this stuff from the apostles, from the early fathers. So all of that was a very interesting part of doing the research for this project.
I'll bet. We are talking with Rod Bennett on his new book, These 12, The Gospel Through the Apostles' Eyes. You know, I was curious, too, in reading that. I mean, why is it, Rod, so important for us to see these 12 men as key individuals, specific backgrounds and talents and stuff, rather than just any random 12 with respect to today and how applicable that is to us today, to the church today?
Well, that's one of the things that got the writing of the book started, is that when I was still an evangelical Christian, I was often told that the apostles didn't have any special or certainly no permanent importance. I had one particular gentleman that I discussed it with, who told me they just happened to be the first generation of Christians. So he didn't attach any special importance to them at all. But even at that time, that seemed an odd answer because, for example, in the book of Acts, almost immediately after the ascension of our Lord, one of the first things that the 12 apostles get started doing is choosing a successor to Judas. It's like they all of a sudden went, wow, there's only 11 of us. That can't be right. Christ himself called 12. And he said, there's got to be, the apostles seem to have said, there's got to be 12. So they immediately set about filling up that number of the 12 and choosing a new apostle, a bench player, so to speak, somebody to step up and pinch hit for the failed apostle, Judas. And it's interesting, Clement of Alexandria, one of the earliest of the fathers, preserves a list of the other disciples of Jesus. Most people know that Jesus chose 12 for a special role, but he also chose a larger group of 70 to be his personal disciples and sent them out on missions very similar to what he did with the 12. Well, Clement preserves a list of their names, and on that list are many people that we learn later in the New Testament became co-workers of St. Paul and other things like that. But the two men who are picked to be candidates for filling up Judas's post, Bar-Justus and Matthias, are also on Clement's list of the 70. So that's the sense in which they really were bench players. So
it really is something about and that we're with Him, with our Lord from the beginning. And there you go. Apostolic nature is embedded in the people themselves. Yeah, it's not a concept. Well, Rod, where can we get a copy of the book?
All of the usual online sources will get it for you, but it's easiest and best to go straight to the publisher, Catholic.com, our friends at Catholic Answers. They have got the book for you, and I hope that many of you will check it out.
Well, definitely, and also your previous work as well, and your conversion story. Thank you, Rod. We appreciate the research that you did, and bringing that gift to us. Thank you so much.
Thanks for saying so. Thank you, and it was good to be with you this morning.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Well, it's half past the hour, and when we come back, Dina Dow, Director of Evangelization and Catechesis with the Diocese of Baton Rouge, is going to be here talking about Eucharistic Revival Plan.
This is Life News Radio. I'm Jim Anderson. U.S. Marshals at the Supreme Court remain tight-lipped about internal investigations into the leak of an illicit early draft of Justice Samuel Alito's Dobbs v. Jackson opinion. The document shows early support for overturning Roe v. Wade and returning legal jurisdiction for abortion to the states. Legacy media outlets criticize the investigations as unprecedented. Yet that matches the unprecedented nature of leaked documents at the High Court. City leaders in Austin, Texas, anticipating Roe v. Wade to be overturned, are preparing to try their hand at decriminalizing abortions. Because such crimes are usually the purview of states' statutes, the city is crafting alternative means. Austin wants to restrict city funds from investigating abortion crimes and make abortion-related investigations the lowest priority for city police. This is Life News Radio.
Persecution around the world has manifested itself through the centuries, but it is worse today than ever before. Aid to the Church in Need and its donors have been there to help since 1947, never abandoning the Church or her most vulnerable children. Will you stand up for your faith and accompany our brothers and sisters on their spiritual journey? Visit churchinneed.org. churchinneed.org.
In other stories, of all U.S. bishops, the Vatican has tapped one to become a new cardinal. Cardinal-designate Bishop Robert McElroy has opposed denying communion to abortion-friendly politicians. Abortion-friendly news anchors are suggesting that red states that may ban or restrict abortions are not prepared for a post-Roe baby boom. Pro-life demographers counter such contentions, saying that a healthy birth rate is good news for local economies. For pro-life headlines delivered to your email address daily, sign up at lifenews.com. This has been Life News Radio.
It's 35 minutes after the hour on Wake Up. Thanks so much for tuning in to Catholic Community Radio. I'm Alicia Quibido with Denise Beyer, Johnny Hebert, and Dina Dow, the Director of Evangelization and Catechesis with the Diocese of Baton Rouge, joins us this morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Johnny, out there in the country.
Good morning.
Johnny. Good to have you. Well, Dina, we're hearing so much about the Eucharist, even in the news these days.
Yes.
Who should receive, who shouldn't, all of that. So everybody's aware. But tell us what led the Diocese of Baton Rouge to have a Eucharistic revival.
Well, it was sparked in 2019, actually by the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops. So it isn't anything original to the diocese, but of course, we're always asking people to revive their lives, you know, in conformity, especially in the Eucharist and partaking and celebration of the Mass. So in 2019, we know there was a Pew study that came out, and it was very surprising in a way that about 30% of active practicing Catholics believed in the real presence, right? So the 70% on the other side of that is that there's not quite a belief in the real presence of the Eucharist. Mm-hmm. So this sparked a lot of the attention of the bishops. And so they decided to begin this grassroots effort to really revive the opportunity for people to encounter Christ in the Eucharist. And what does that look like? And then the pandemic hit, so it slowed the production down a little bit of promulgating things. But finally, during last year, there was an official, okay, the launch is going to be this year, June 19th, 2022, on the Feast of Corpus Christi. We're inviting people to a Eucharistic procession here locally in the Diocese of Baton Rouge at St. Joseph Cathedral, which we can talk about in just a few minutes. But, of course, led by Bishop Michael Duca. Yeah. But this is an opportunity for us to really embrace what is called the source and summit of our faith. And I can't imagine life without Eucharist at all. I mean, the effects of it are so powerful. It's our Lord Jesus Christ, body, blood, soul, and divinity. And it's the sacrament of life, right? The sacrament that gives us life and the graces to be a part of his mystical body and also in communion with one another.
Yes.
You know, so there, it's more to it than just I'm receiving Jesus. It's like we're open to receiving Jesus and we're in communion and unity, like Johnny was talking about earlier, in friendship with one another. And I'm going to tell you, with all of that's going on in our world today and in our country and our local region, there is an opportunity here to grow in love and charity. And I'm wholeheartedly convinced that when we partake in the Eucharist as faithful practicing Catholics, then that unity will break the barrier of whatever evil or our unfriendship is happening. I know it. I know it. I've seen it in people. There's a conversion. And so this is an extended invitation to revive your life in the Eucharist. It's time. It's time to come home. And if there's, you know, people out there listening, like, I haven't been to church in a while, and I don't know. It's like, just come on. Just call me. Just come on home. You know, or if you know someone that's been away for whatever reason, the invitation is there for us to offer to them. Come to Mass. Come to learn and encounter Christ in the Eucharist.
A parish priest that I had in Houma, he used to always say, you know, people would say, Well, I mean, that's fine, but I just can't sit in Eucharistic adoration and be still, or I don't get too much out of that, you know, because it, our faith has just kind of dwindled down. But he says you cannot sit before the presence of the Lord in the Eucharist and not be touched and not be feel his presence. He said just like you can't go out into the sun and not get a sunburn. You can't sit in the presence of the Lord without the rays of his love beginning to affect you. And so you will begin to change in the presence of the Lord.
Well, and you know, it's interesting. I think it was Father John Ricardo who said, and I could be wrong, but who said, if we really, truly, truly believed in the true presence, body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Savior, there would be a line for Eucharistic adoration. You would not be able to get in the door because people would be be lined up. So this revival is not just for that 70% who do not necessarily understand or believe in the true presence.
It's for everyone. It's for all of us. We were talking a little bit earlier before we came on air about the joy of seeing a second grader receive communion for the first time, or an adult receiving communion for the first time if they're going through the RCIA process. And that joy is to be there forever, right? Like, you know, there's something about receiving Christ in the Eucharist that he gave us. You know, we're such a tangible type of people, which he knew that. And so what, how can he be a part of our lives substantially, physically, and him in eternity? So when we're in Mass, there is 1 foot here in on earth, and 1 foot in heaven. And I don't know about you, but the eternal, you know, promise of salvation forever in, you know, union with God far outweighs any type of promise in the earthly life. Although it's a gift of life, and we have the opportunity of life to share our life and our love of Jesus Christ with others. But the opportunity to partake in the taste of heaven here on earth to strengthen us on our journey towards eternity and to invite others to become with, come with us and be a part of that. So the revival is kind of like wiping away the opportunity of like, this is routine. This is something that I do. And Eucharist is not something that we do. It's something that we become. We become closer to the mystical mm-hmm. body of Christ. We are conformed to Jesus Christ. We grow in unity with one another, right? We grow in an outreach of others that don't know Christ to mm-hmm. invite them into. And then we're also conformed to the poor, right? We mm-hmm. have this huge compassion and love and joy of those that are marginalized and the poor. Those are the effects mm-hmm. of Holy Communion, of Holy Eucharist, of receiving it. And that's our task.
Yes.
I mean, when the Lord told us to go and make disciples, then we ourselves are to be disciples. And to be disciples, we're to be in full relationship, personal relationship with Jesus mm-hmm. Christ, which increases our relationships with other people with us and around us. And so that communion is not just me and Jesus, and
yes.
it's a community of communion with all people, even those that are not Catholic
yes.
or Christian.
Yes.
Right? Because you're united in the world. So if you listen to the prayers during the Mass, it's mm-hmm. a universal prayer. It's for everyone. Mm-hmm. And so that source and summit is not only flowing out through the body of Christ. We become tabernacles of the living God and are sent out. That's why the last thing is go out.
That's right.
Go. And I was hearing, I heard a homily yesterday. We were talking about the visitation. Mary mm-hmm. immediately became the living tabernacle mm-hmm. of Christ, right? And she didn't just sit there. She ran
yes.
to Elizabeth
yes.
to proclaim the good news. Mm-hmm. And that's our calling. We receive Jesus in the Eucharist. We're to run to other people. Now, does that mean running and standing on the street corner? Mm-hmm. Yes, it could be for some people. But it's when we go out into the world, and you know, I've preached mm-hmm. this over and over again. I sound like a broken record. But even in the intimate moments where we're just doing the normal, everyday, mm-hmm. checking out at the grocery store, who mm-hmm. is standing next to us? Who is supporting us and getting our groceries into the bag so we can get home? Mm-hmm. Who is that? And are we acknowledging them as a child of God?
Right.
And that loving presence that we bring to them through Jesus Christ and the love of Christ will penetrate their hearts, because He is penetrating their hearts through the love that He's mm-hmm. given us.
That's beautiful.
So much. Yeah.
You know, I want to circle back to adoration real quick. We just have a couple of minutes already. Time goes by so fast with you. But I watched a video of you
yes.
interviewing Father Matthew Dunn, who is a priest in the Diocese of Baton Rouge, on Catholic Life TV. And he talked about adoration. And there was an invitation for everyone, because this revival isn't just for priests, isn't just for religious.
Right.
It is for everyone.
And it's not a one and done either.
Yes.
Guys.
Yes. And so he gave a little tip about Eucharistic adoration.
Yeah. He's like, you know, whenever we go to adoration, we feel like we have to have our books and everything mm-hmm. that we need to really have this good conversation with Jesus. And sometimes you just come in with your open heart mm-hmm. and you just sit like 5 minutes, 10, 20, an hour.
Yes.
Just sit and disconnect. Take that phone, leave it in the car,
mm-hmm.
leave everything behind and sit in the presence of Jesus.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Dina, our time is already up. Tell folks where they can go to find out more information.
They can go to eucharisticrevival.org or go on the Catholic Diocese website, diobr.org. And June 19th, 10:30 Mass, Bishop Michael Duca will celebrate, followed by Eucharistic procession. Everyone is invited. We look forward to seeing you there.
Wonderful. I'll put both links in the Facebook live feed. So stick around. We'll be back on Wake Up.
Before the hour, and I'm here with Alicia Quibido. I'm Denise Beyer, and Johnny Hebert is with us. And we have with us this segment Deacon Larry Oney, who's from the Archdiocese of New Orleans. And Deacon Larry is the founder of Hope and Purpose Ministries, whose mission is to participate in the new evangelization through preaching, teaching, leading retreats, conducting parish missions, and fostering baptism in the Holy Spirit. He's written many books, and he's a national and international speaker. And I know, because he's one of my dear brothers in Christ, one of his favorite scriptures is from 1 Corinthians 4:20, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power." Right, Deacon Larry?
I'm so glad you mentioned that scripture this morning.
Oh, I love it too.
Good morning, Denise. Yeah.
Good morning.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That is one of my favorite scripts. I just jotted it down again to remind myself about that when we're talking about the things of God, we're not just chit-chatting, we're not just gossiping, we're not just changing ideas. We're talking about something that's powerful, the most powerful thing in the world, that is the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Yeah. So good morning to you, Denise.
Good morning. And this Sunday is a very special Sunday. It's Pentecost Sunday, and
can you share with us? It's not a matter of talk, but of power. And as St. Paul also says, demonstrations in the spirit of his power. So yeah. What can we look forward to, and how should we be preparing for this Sunday first?
I mean, I think we get Mary, the Theotokos, the Mother of God, is a good model for how she prepared. I mean, she gave her yes to the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
At the incarnation, God respects our free will. He gave it to us, and he respects it. To take it back, to force us to be open to the action of the Spirit, would violate the free will that he'd already given to us. It would be unlike the character of God to do so. But Mary gave her yes, and as soon as she gave her fiat, her yes, then the Holy Spirit filled her womb. It's right there in Luke for us all to read about the right posture to receive the Holy Spirit. So yeah, Denise, this Sunday we celebrate one of the great feast days. A lot of people don't know this. I know you do, Denise. Maybe perhaps many of your listeners might. But the Feast of Pentecost is right on par with the Feast of Christmas and the Feast of Easter.
Amen.
It's a significant day in the church. Mm-hmm. I mean, Jesus' whole mission was about baptizing us in the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he said, I must go. It's better for you that I go. So his ascension precipitated the coming of the Holy Spirit. So it's a big deal in the church, and we should celebrate it rightly with an open heart. And some might be saying, yeah, but I've already received the Holy Spirit at baptism. You're right.
Mm-hmm.
And again, another outpouring of confirmation. But it's very clear, the church's teaching is very clear. We can receive yet more of the Holy Spirit. See, this Pentecost, we will celebrate and we will cry out, Veni Sancto Spiritus, come Holy Spirit. We'll cry out, come Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is already in us, and that's an activation of what's already present. But we're crying out to say, give us a new coming of the Spirit along with that which is already there from our baptism, confirmation. And even right now, Denise, if we said, come Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit will come. How do you get more of the Holy Spirit?
Ask.
Simply ask.
Ask, and you will receive. Right. I love that, Deacon Larry. And I know you are doing some events coming up. I think tomorrow it's with Johnette Williams, with Women of Grace, and your beautiful wife, Andy Oney, my dear friend and sister too, is going to be there. Tell us a little bit about that event, so we can start stirring up that flame, that fire of the Holy Spirit within us, even
Amen.
Now.
Even now, the Lord says.
Even
well,
now.
You know, Johnette Williams is on EWTN. Johnette's got one of the premier shows on EWTN. You know, a lot of people don't know this, Denise. I know you do, but EWTN is the largest religious network in the world, not just the largest Catholic network, television network, but the largest religious network in the world. They're on every continent of the world. So Johnette, that's a significant place that she holds. Johnette is fully open to the things of the Spirit. Ann and I will be with her for about an hour and a half tomorrow on Thursday from 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 5:30 Central Time until 8:30, 8 o'clock rather, Central Time. So 5:30 Central Time until 8 o'clock Central Time. So, and Andy's going to be presenting on the Holy Spirit and Pentecost, and I'll be presenting as well, and Johnette will be giving kind of her testimony. So, and I just love Jeanette's openness to the things of the Spirit. I mean, she's a prominent woman in the church, but she is not ashamed to identify with the things of the Spirit. And I've heard her teach not just the Isaiah gifts in Isaiah chapter 7 or chapter 11, the gifts of piety, fear of the Lord, et cetera, but she's very open to the charismatic gifts and 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 1 and following. So those gifts are for mission. Those gifts are for mission. The gift of the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, the gift of faith, and the supernatural gift of discernment, which, Denise, you know I like to say this, the gift of discernment is not the same as the gift of suspicion. One is from the flesh, and the other one is from the Spirit. But the church needs these gifts to do what? To do what our principal mission is upon the earth. That is to gather souls for the kingdom of God, for the
Amen.
End of our day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I love
so
the title.
So we're going to be excited to participate. Yes.
Tongues as a fire. That to me is exciting right there. So how would we register, Deacon Larry, to hear you and Andy and Johnette Williams? And I know there's a lot of other things. They're going to have music going on. It's really a Pentecost event that you can do from your home online. So how would people register?
They can go to our website, to hopeandpurpose.org, www.hopeandpurpose.org. They can go to Women of Grace, EWTN. They can register there. So, yeah, very easy to register. I mean, just type in your email address to register, I think, is all you have to do. So you can just go and check that out. But go to Hope and Purpose or go to Women of Grace, EWTN. Yeah, very simple.
Oh, it's going to be, that's going to be exciting event too.
And, you know, Catholic Community Radio airs Women of Grace every day, Monday through Friday, 10 a.m., so you can hear Johnette on Catholic Radio.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. And Denise, Andy's going to be over talking about her book, Mary's Life in the Holy Spirit. She's going to be in studio with Johnette in a few weeks, I think.
Oh, okay.
Johnette, I just see what's happening. God is doing something on the earth. I know our time is going fast, and I want to share this.
Please.
Here's what Pope Benedict XVI said in 2008. He said these words on Pentecost Sunday. He said, today I would like to extend, and I would like to extend today, too, to your audience, this invitation to everyone. Let us rediscover, that's a pinnacle word, rediscover, dear brothers and sisters, the beauty of being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Let us be aware again of our baptism and our confirmation, sources of grace that are always present. Let us ask the Virgin Mary to obtain a renewed Pentecost for the church again today.
Amen.
Pentecost that was spread in everyone, the joy of living and witnessing to the gospel. I mean, Benedict was a theologian, but yet he knew theology is good, but nothing trumps the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Beautiful. Oh, Deacon Larry, it's always just a blessing to be with you and to hear your dynamic preaching and teaching. We don't just talk about it. We preach it as you've taught me, and that's when the power of the Holy Spirit moves in our lives. So thank you for being with us this morning. And
you're welcome.
We will post this site on
that's
our
right.
page.
It's on our Facebook. That's hopeandpurpose.org.
Amen.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
All right, guys. Thank you so much. Anita, looking forward to seeing you soon, my dear.
Same here, Deacon Larry. God bless.
All right, sister. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Wow. Johnny, that was a quick hour.
Wow, that went by fast.
Full of awesome information, too. So
hurtling toward Pentecost.
That's right.
Let's pray in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Oh, Lord, as we do prepare for the coming of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost, open our hearts to welcome you as our true friend who laid down his life for our salvation. With apostles and saints like Justin the Martyr as our examples, consecrate us in the truth, which is you. Fill us with joy and confidence to be sent into the world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Join us tomorrow, Thursday. Josie Duke joins us, Dr. Brian Cruz with Pace New Orleans, and Anthony DiStefano talks about his book, How the Angels Got Their Wings. Thanks so much for being with us on Wake Up. Have a blessed day.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Radio.